Okay, guys, I'm Courtney. I'm in business development for a company called Knightly. Knightly is owned by a man named John Starks, and he happens to be here with us today. Hi, John.
Hi.
John is a real estate investor. He started back in 2002 in Nebraska in long-term rentals. In 2005, he sold out, bought RPM franchises, managed over 2,000 single-family homes in Southwest Missouri and Northwest Arkansas. In 2022, he kind of backed out of that, sold it in the spring. And by September 2022, he discovered his new business and partnered with his friend, Nathan. January 2023, he decided he wanted to start helping other people do the same thing he was doing. So today, Knightly manages how many properties, John?
About 186.
186. And that's from 2023 until today, correct?
That's correct.
Wow. And now we're in seven states: Missouri, Arkansas, Florida, Colorado, Idaho, Utah, Arizona. And I'm pleased today, too, to have Joel Gaisford with us. Joel Gaisford has been a pillar in our real estate community. Since 2009, he has owned a team that we all know about here in the Ozarks, Team 24/7. He's maintained a position in the top 20 in the Greater Springfield Board of Realtors since then. He's an over $20 million producer every year, he and his team. So in 2018, Joel took over the entire real estate team. So he runs Team 24/7 now. And now he's into developing resorts. I think he's on resort number two, and we're just so excited to have him here today. And we're going to talk a little bit about realtors. How can you gain more confidence to talk about short-term rentals with your investors? Realtors, I know you love the idea of short-term rentals. Every time I talk to any realtor and ask them, hey, what do you know about short-term rentals? The answer is always, not enough, Courtney. I need to know more.
Yep.
So every time we hear that, we think to ourselves, we really should put something together, a resource for people, for realtors, so that they can feel more comfortable talking with their clients, because there are so many nuances to this and you can't be the professional in everything. Today, we're going to talk about one developer story, Joel, how he looks at his investments and how you as a realtor can earn free stays at any of our properties and get endless buyer leads. That's a program that we offer, and we're going to tell you about it at the end of our program today. But before we get to that, because that's not the important thing today, today we want to talk about Joel and John's story. So, Joel, take it away. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, both personally and professionally?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, guys. This is really exciting and a little apprehensive, never done a podcast. So here we go. We're just going to do this thing. So, you know, I kind of came into the real estate world kicking and screaming. It wasn't at all what I wanted to do. And just, it's one of those family, my mom actually ran a team. And just one day the cards fell into place and said, she said, why don't you come join me? And so at the worst possible market, February 2009, if you all remember what was going on around
then,
that's when I got my real estate license and decided to go all in and be self-employed.
Forged in fire.
Yeah, what was I thinking, right?
You were thinking your mom made you.
Yeah.
Kim is a force to be reckoned with, just all in around.
Truth. And so it kind of went from there, and her and I did a whole lot of business together and gradually grew the business and added agents and merged with teams and grew it more. And then one day she decided she wanted to retire, and so I kind of took the ball and ran with it from there.
Awesome. So I know you've done a lot. What sort of originally drew you to the short-term rental side of real estate? You want to tell us that story?
To the short-term rental side. So I kind of have to back up to 2009 again, about simultaneously to me getting my license. My brother and I partnered up to buy our very first long-term rental property. And I just kind of had a wild hair, and it was a house I was familiar with from college, actually, that we all... a bunch of my friends lived in college, and it got foreclosed on during all the foreclosure madness. And I went to my brother and said, hey, you want to buy a house together? And which was, you know how business and family can mix sometimes.
Mm, sure.
And and so we did all the things necessary, created the partnership agreement and the LLC, and off and away we went and bought this crazy rental. And then we bought another rental and another rental and another rental. And it just kind of ballooned into a bigger business. And then we started flipping some houses. And then one day we found a condo in Branson, kind of down the street from Silver Dollar City in Lantern Bay, I believe is the name of that place. And we said, man, that there's a whole bunch of these things that need remodeled. Why not us? And so we bought this condo and remodeled it with the idea that we would sell it. And then in the process, we're like, well, maybe we should try the short-term rental thing. And so we put it out there on the market and started renting it. And then we bought another condo in Treehouse Condos in kind of the same-ish area, and did the same thing. And we're having, you know, a little bit of success. And so that's kind of how I got started in short-term rentals, kind of by accident.
Wow, you've been at this way longer than I even knew about.
Yeah, way too long. I tell people it's...
You're a pioneer.
Yeah, I tell people it's long enough to know better and too long to do anything about it.
Were you managing it yourself?
So Treehouse had to, I know at the time, and I think they still do have to be managed by the in-house folks there. And what's funny about that is, at the time, there were lots of people that weren't using the in-house. And so we started with the in-house and then found our own because other people were doing it. And then the Treehouse community came. That's a whole longer story for another day. But then they came back and clamped back down and said, no, we want all of them. And so that's when we sold that one, is because we didn't want them to manage our property.
Why not?
They weren't doing a good job.
Okay.
So you wanted a better reputation than that.
Yes. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. They're real antiquated booking software, and just the way they set up properties, we just didn't have a lot of say in how we wanted things to happen.
That makes sense.
Now, Joel, you have recently developed a short-term rental community with like the best lake access I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
On a resort.
Yeah.
Like it could not be better.
Yep.
Could you tell us a little bit about what makes it unique and how that vision was shaped?
So the most recent one is called Driftwood Shores. We actually, that's actually our second resort we've done.
Can we talk about the first one?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about the first one. So we're lake people, big time lake people, and our family likes to go to the lake every weekend in the summer. I grew up going to a little tiny resort, again, a little 1960s resort called Lake Village Resort, which is down Dee Dee Highway just before Coney Island, if you're familiar with the area. And we just loved it there. And our cousins would go, my grandparents, and we just loved it. And so my mom at some point, my mom and my grandparents owned it together. And then my grandparents decided they were getting older and wanted to get out of that. And so my mom bought that place from them. And then she sold it and bought a house. A few years later, mom decides she wants to retire. And so she's retiring to Florida. And she comes to me and my brother and my sister and said, hey, it's somebody else's turn to do the lake thing. And we need somebody to have a lake house. And so we looked, me and my brother and my cousin, for a year plus for the right setup. For at times we have 30 plus people at our lake house on a busy holiday weekend. And so you got to have the right setup for that kind of thing, because we sleep all those people too. Mm. And so we looked and looked and looked for the right setup and couldn't find it. And not only could we not find it, but I'm sure somebody out there can relate, we also couldn't figure out how to share it together.
With your family?
With my family. So I love all of them very dearly, and we couldn't figure out how to share it because we all wanted to be there all the time and also maybe wanted some private time there as well. And so one summer, we're cruising down the lake, my wife and I, in a rainstorm. and my boat broke down in a rainstorm. And we drifted into this dock of a resort.
Drifted
into a dock. And we parked there and had somebody come get us and trailered the boat out of this resort. I didn't know anything about the resort other than it was right by where the resort was that I grew up at. And then fast forward like the next year, my wife and I sold a silly couch on Facebook Marketplace. And for some reason, if anybody out there also has agreed to deliver something to someone off of Facebook Marketplace, you might sympathize with me. So we drove it all the way from Nixa to Reed Spring down Dee Dee Highway just because it was by our old place that we grew up at the lake. And we passed this resort. And this is in the midst of us, remember, looking for a family place that we could have on the lake. And we passed this resort called Lone Pine Resort. And I looked at my wife and I said, see, honey, that's what we need. Mm. We need a place like that where it's all together. We'd have a community pool. My cousin would have his own place. My brother would have his own place. We'd have our own place. And if anybody else in the family wanted to buy one, they could have one. And we'd all have a compound.
Solutions.
Yeah, I'm solution driven. And if you didn't know, and I may be letting out a secret that I don't want anybody to know, but I'm going to say it into a microphone now, that the best lake frontage on Table Rock Lake or any lake is these old resorts because they got there first.
Industry secret.
Yeah. And so a lot of those are turning over now, and the owners of them, maybe second, third, first, even owners of them are starting to retire and want to sell their business. And that is something we realized as a result of this. And so backing up to the couch, we delivered the stupid couch. I told my wife, there's a resort for us. That's what we need to do. 2 days later, and still gives me goosebumps to tell this story, but 2 days after we delivered that stupid couch, that resort, not any resort, that resort came on the market.
You're not the only one with goosebumps now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just one of those God things that we said, man, that's weird. And we packed up and went down there right away and looked at it and found a way to buy it. My brother and I, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. And then we went on to Driftwood Shores.
Yeah.
After
On that resort, much smaller than Driftwood Shores. It was only 7 units and 1 lot, and we ended up, we built a garage on the lot, but the 7 houses, we kind of just put out there to friends because we wanted our own lake place there, and, you know, at the lake, it's about community, and you want to enjoy the lake with community and people that you know and love, and so ended up finding a few realtor buddies of mine to buy some units. And so we surveyed off every single unit and then sold off some as is and let our realtor buddies remodel their own units. And then we took the owner house and we remodeled that ourselves and sold it. And then there's a little 400 square foot tiny itty bitty studio that we tore down and built back a 950 square foot, like 331 in its place and sold it. And then my brother and I's unit, we ended up having to tear it down because it was just not structurally sound. And we rebuilt another 2-story unit that was about 1.5 times the size of the original. And so Eric has the top unit. I have the bottom unit. And then next door to us is my cousin, just like we had planned it.
So you figured out how to share.
We figured out how to share.
I love
it. My cousin has since even expanded his unit, and we just love it there and have, again, I think our biggest crowd was 32 on a 4th of July weekend.
Wow. Is it zone commercial or is it permitted STR? Do you know?
So Coney Island's a funny place because it's run as a village. It's the village of Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time we bought that, there was really not zoning. There was, but not really. They hadn't even designed or defined their zones yet. But it is zoned... We didn't have to do any zoning, actually, at the time. So now it's residential.
Okay.
It was commercial. but they've since come through and done a zoning map and improved all that. So anyways, which zoning actually is a very funny story at Driftwood Shores as well, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah, we have lots of fun stories.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about that.
Well, so let's talk about Driftwood Shores. You found Driftwood Shores. Yeah, it was so something else when you found it.
We finished Lone Pine, and we were the kind of people that can't seem to stop ourselves. And so we one day I'm just scrolling through the MLS sitting at my desk, and I see another resort for sale, and kind of looked into it. And not all resorts on the lake are created equal. You have to be in the right place by lake, and you have to be in the right place by land, and those things are different.
And I feel like it takes just experience in that area to know.
100%, 100% true. And so, especially if you're going to sell off things, it has to be in the right place, and especially if you're going to have any kind of short-term rental there. Location, 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 realtors. If you've never heard that from a realtor, you've heard it 1 million times, so. It goes the same in resort development. If I had a nickel. Yeah. Yeah. So we found this resort and went and looked at it, and really kind of started a really good relationship with the previous owner. They were retiring, and we found a way to buy it, found some sucker of a bank that would go along with us on our crazy idea. And at the time, it was a much bigger project, even going into it. It was 14 units, so already twice the size of Lone Pine. And it was 4.5 acres, where Lone Pine was only like an acre or two, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we're already biting off a bigger piece of the apple. And then we were going to make the 14, I think, into like 23. We were going to remodel what was there and build a few more units, and then engineers got involved.
And what was the need for the engineer?
So
what made it different?
So when we started there, it had a lot to do with the sewer system. There was 3 or 4 septic systems there that weren't sized.
And what county is that in?
Stone.
Oh, gosh, they're difficult.
Which is actually the difference between the two. We lucked out on Lone Pine. Again, remember, it was the village of Coney Island. Mm-hmm. And so we fell under their rules, not Stone County.
Wow.
And so we went to Driftwood Shores, and we were all full Stone County. And so now we've got to have approval of a DNR-approved sewer system, everything. Every 3 or 4-letter agency out there we've had to talk to many times.
Mostly 4-letter.
Mostly 4-letter. When I refer to them, they're 4-letter.
So then that's what caused you to get an engineer, and you kind of changed your plans up at that point.
Yeah, so we had to find us a surveyor, of course, and then a civil engineer to kind of help us plan where we were going to put these extra units we were going to put in. Again, remember, it was 14 units. We were going to turn into 20-ish, 23. And we thought we could do it pretty easily. Well, he started drawing out the map and the way the old resort was laid out versus how he had to do the sewer system and how he... Anyways, long story short, he came to us one day and said, you guys know if you tore these units down, you could get a lot more into this place. You'd get a lot more units in.
So you had the right person in your corner.
Had the right person in our corner, for sure. And he was an interesting guy, but he started playing with the map. And, of course, more units for us means a better return on our investment. And so we were all ears at the time, and before we ever knew what the implications of that were. And so he came back to us with a map of 38 units. From 14.
And, that's better.
And we all sweat bullets and choked and went, okay, how do we do that? And so we figured out how to do that.
You did figure out how to do that, because it's here now.
It's here now.
Beautiful. Yeah, and it's one of the most beautiful developments I've seen.
Thank you.
And it's already zoned for short-term rentals, which can be a big deal in Stone County.
Well, it wasn't, actually. That's a fun story.
Oh, so you got it done.
Sort of. So... this is pro tip for everybody listening. Do your due diligence. when you are purchasing property, not just a house, but if you, the larger your purchase, the more your due diligence needs to be. And so in the process of our due diligence, we found out that it was zoned R1, which is residential, and it was a functioning business. You can imagine that's not correct. Yeah. And so we went to our fellow friends at Stone County and said, hey, did you know? And they said, we did not. And so if you've been around a little while, you know that getting things zoned to be a nightly rental in Stone County and Taney County has gotten harder and harder and harder every year. And with us being no exception and this area being no exception, we went to them and said, hey, this is a problem. It's not zoned properly. So we thought, this deal's dead. There's no way we're going to get the zoning we need. They'll give us commercial probably, but not what we need to be nightly rental. And so anyways, they came back to us and said, oh, yeah, that seems like a mistake. We can fix that. We're like, okay. And then they asked the magic words. What would you like it to be zoned?
Magic
one. Well, I can answer that.
Another God thing.
It absolutely was. Absolutely was. There's been many things in both projects that were God things. Even back to Lone Pine, when a week before we closed, there was a hailstorm and the insurance company replaced every roof on the property.
Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, there's been God things all the way through it.
Sounds like you've had so many hurdles that have turned out to be amazing results. Wow. Yeah. Blessings.
Yeah.
Blessings.
So we, you know, did our research and made sure that we wanted R3 zoning. And so they said, yeah, we'll just do an administrative rezone, and which means they're really just fixing a problem and they still have to post it, but it's just not the same process that you would go through to get something rezoned. You're not out for public comment or anything like that. They're just fixing a mistake.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out in our favor.
Such a blessing. Such a blessing. Okay, so now fast forward, here we are. Yeah. We have Driftwood Choice.
And so then, you know, we're going after 38 units, and that has a lot of implications. You got to figure out how there's no public utility there at all. And so we had to figure out how then to get from this one tiny, actually, it was two wells to a well that would service 38 homes, as well as a sewer system that would service 38 homes. And so we had to go through quite a process. We put in a water tower. I learned more about water and water towers and poop than than I would admit to most people.
You are now a civil engineering expert.
I feel like it. Yeah. I feel like it. So I learned a whole lot about sewer systems real quickly, and we put in a big one. And so a very costly part of that. So to all of those out there that think it's going to be easy and cheap to convert a resort, talk to DNR first, please.
Oh, great advice. DNR we'll first. Yeah. So we've got them up and running now. And when you did get them finished and started to rent them out to guests and sell them to people, tell me a little bit about that experience and how you met with John eventually and Nathan at Nightly.
So I've actually known Nathan a long time. He and I went to church together, I believe. So Nathan came to me and one day and said, hey, why don't you let us talk to you about a thing, and set up a meeting with me and Nathan and John.
That's so John, talk about kind of some of the conversations you had with Joel when that started. Like, how was his business doing then?
Yeah, I'm so curious, Joel. A lot of realtors, I think, when they are building something or helping buyers, they want to be the subject matter expert. But when we met for the first time, it seemed to me that you were resistant to that. You seemed like you wanted separation of church and state. Can you share a little bit about that?
And I still do, as a developer, I still do want that a little bit, because I think there's a danger in for me being the realtor and the owner and the developer, and now I'm going to tell you can make this much money on your property. That seems dangerous to me. Mm-hmm. And so when I met with you, it was a conversation about, hey, people come to me and they ask me all the time, hey, what are these going to make me? And I don't want to answer the question. I just want to be the developer and the builder, and I want you guys to answer that question.
I think that's so wise. Do you see other real estate agents approaching it differently?
Yeah. There's not a lot of them in my position, I don't think. I think there are some that do that a little more than I do. And they probably own a little bit more nightly rentals than I do and probably have a little bit more experience in that than I do, which is fine. I just prefer to lean on an expert myself and let them answer those questions while I answer the building questions.
I agree.
Pick your lane. You know what I mean?
I agree. It feels so, to me, it feels like such a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
To tell a potential buyer, this house is going to generate this.
Yeah.
What if it doesn't?
What if it doesn't? They come back to me in a year and say, hey, you promised 40,000 and I did 20.
Exactly.
Now what?
Or if you give them even a projection, you pull something from AirDNA.
Right.
That's just scraped data and you just give it to them. To me, that almost feels like a promise, right? You gave me this. Mm-hmm. It says 50,000 on it. I only did 30.
Yeah. Without some serious disclaimer, talk to your lawyers to get a disclaimer. I don't know how you do it with a clearer conscience.
So when we sat down and met, we kind of went through our value proposition. What made you decide to choose us?
It was more about the heart behind the business to me. I can just tell meeting with you guys that there's more to you than just wanting to rent a piece of property. It's how you do it and how you make people feel when they rent from you. And it's how that you make your owners feel when they use you. It's how you made me feel in that room that day. There, you guys have a heart, almost a servant's heart, in it. And I love that about you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Don't tell anybody I said that about you.
We're going to tell everybody.
So since that time, I know whenever you're a developer, sometimes there's things that are outside your control. Sometimes it rains and there's delays and things come up, and we don't take those kinds of things lightly, the relationship and the trust. So when we left that day and we decided that we were going to work together, we treated that like a partnership. Mm-hmm. And I know that term is used very loosely, but we take it very seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, you know, from that moment, it wasn't, hey, Joel, call me when you have something to rent. It was a, hey, I'll check in on how things going. Even before we were ever had a unit out of the ground, you guys were checking in with us, and it just felt different than an average relationship. So
I agree. Many times it felt, even with folks that had bought properties, that we weren't speaking for you in any way, but we were always an advocate for the developer.
Yeah.
And never to overstep, but always to come alongside.
Yeah, which has been really nice to, you know, bounce things off of you guys, because, you know, we think we know a little bit about building and what is important in a nightly rental, and because we have done it a little bit, you guys really know. And so it's been nice to bounce things off of you as well, even in the building process, to know, you know, what these things should look like.
The reverse has been true as well. When we get feedback from some of the folks that you've talked to, it's always felt like you've always given us a glowing review. We really appreciate that. Yeah. We don't take that lightly either.
Yeah.
What has been your experience as you've heard from other people outside of this interaction that you've had directly, like indirectly from folks that you've interacted with that have interacted with our team? What are some of the things you've heard?
All very similar. I've not met someone that has had a meeting with you guys that didn't go well, or a projection that they didn't, you know, that they didn't understand completely, or, just very thorough understanding. Like, you guys are out to teach people and not just, hey, let me rent your property. And there's just more to it with you guys. And that's what I've gotten from people that I've sent your way. And that's why they keep coming.
Speaking of teaching, I know why all of our realtors are listening today. It's because they want to know more about how this actually works, right? Joel, do you still have some of those units available for sale?
I do. In fact, we have four spec units going right now, everywhere from a basement to a townhome to a little three-bedroom, 1,100-square-foot unit.
Yeah, actually, Joel, we're actually managing one of your properties, right?
You are. For you, you are and your indeed. Brother. Yeah, we decided to dive in ourselves and furnish one of our units and have you guys take care of it, yeah.
So let's kind of talk through that personal experience. Mm-hmm. So you witnessed it firsthand.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So what do you remember from that? What did that look like for you?
I would say one word described the whole experience with Knightley is thorough, to a degree that I've not seen with any other company. I've owned other properties in other places and had them managed by other people in other places. You guys wanted to make sure that I understood every part of what I was doing and doing with you and how it was going to look and what to expect. Thorough.
Do you feel like that's given your investors the same kind of confidence too?
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. I don't think there's been anybody down at Driftwood Shores that I've sent to you that has not used you. So that should say something to you that pretty high close right there.
Yeah, that's right. We're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we do take our time to come alongside people and truly try to understand what their goals are. Like, why did you buy this house? What would you like to see come from it? And hear their personal story, the story about your family.
And that silly couch.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's important. I know as we're talking on this podcast, for us talking in the microphone, maybe it doesn't seem that meaningful, but I'm sure there's people in the audience that can relate to that, mm-hmm. other lake people. Mm-hmm. That say, oh man, my mom or my grandma's aged out and it's now my turn and I have the baton, mm-hmm. and it's my turn to organize the family events and find a place. And I'm looking for a house that can pay for itself and carry that legacy forward.
Yeah.
Those stories are very meaningful. And we always start with that first.
Yeah. Which, and you know, ironically enough, I think that's what we've seen at Driftwooded. And there's a lot of other of these lake resorts around that are doing nightly rental, but it's different at Driftwood. It's a different vibe. We've found that, and maybe it's because we have dock access. I don't know what the reason is, but instead of just having straight investors at Driftwood Shores, we have the families that want to have a lake house, that want their lake house to pay for itself, or at least pay some of itself. When they're not enjoying it. And that's been kind of a different, we kind of have our own little niche market in that way.
Yes. We've seen that a lot of folks coming from Colorado and other states.
For some reason, Colorado, this is the place to be, guys.
It is. It is.
It's an easy drive.
Yeah.
Or right, flight.
Right down the street.
Yeah.
So yeah, we take a lot of time to know everybody's story and then come alongside and see how can we help you. Not tell them this is what you have to do, but here's some options. Here's some options on how you can do it. Here's the pros and cons of each option. Here's what I did, and here's how it worked out. But whatever you decide, we'll come alongside and help you.
Yeah.
And we've seen a tremendous amount of success doing that.
Yep.
So it's been really, really good.
Realtors in our audience, how can they best prepare themselves to serve their investor clients the way that I know you do, Joel?
Yeah. So again, I've been doing real estate for going on 17 years now, and I just cannot imagine trying to sell one of these units to somebody and not educating my buyer on what they're buying. And I certainly don't have the expertise nor the time to gain the expertise to advise them properly. And so you got to have somebody in your corner that's willing to grab them by the shoulder and say, hey, here's what that investment's going to look like if you're going to do it this way.
Joel, that's great. The biggest thing for us, and I would encourage real estate agents to have their investors go to knightley.cc and click the management page. There's a form that you can fill out. You can plug in the address. It's really easy. The number of bedrooms, the number of bathrooms. That form, when you complete it, goes to our revenue manager. He's certified data analyst from Google, and he will send you a free revenue projection. Also, you'll receive an email with a one-page wonder that outlines our entire value proposition. You can give that to your client, and it showcases everything that Knightly does. All the things that Joel has called out on the podcast, you can give that to your client, and they can reference.
How long does it take to get one of those back?
Usually we have it within one business day.
See, that's amazing. So, like, just to talk realtor for a minute, not builder, not developer, to talk realtor with you for a minute.
Just you serving your investor clients.
I've got a client, you know, we've been looking around for a week, and they're in town from Colorado, of course, and they want to buy a condo or a unit at Driftwood Shores.
And they
want to know, what's this thing going to make me? You know, I need to be prepared to answer the question. And so I've got Knightly on board. So hear me, realtors. This is how this should work. I'm going to speak realtor to you. So show them the 50 properties or whatever it is, and then narrow your list down to their top three. Then it's time to go to Knightly and say, hey, Knightly, will you help me compare? Is that fair, John? Do you think that's exactly a good way to do it?
It kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier. Mm. What are your goals?
Your motivation.
Right? What's your motivation?
Story.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So for me, I like to be on a certain side of the lake based on my family history and the memories for my family. So if a realtor was to point me to a different side of the lake, it wouldn't be meaningful for me. Even if the numbers were more favorable, it doesn't resonate for me because you didn't take the time to know my story. So I would encourage realtors out there to know the story first. Oh,
that's great advice.
Yep.
Because that's what's going to resonate.
Well, and even a straight investor that isn't going to use a property themselves at all, and it's just going to be an investment, even they have a story.
They have their preferences.
A reason they want it to be in a certain place.
That's right. What's going to be meaningful? Mm-hmm. Start with that first.
Yep. Yeah. So realtors out there, get them narrowed down, one or two, maybe three, and holler at the guys at Knightly. Have them run some projections for you, and then take this, what did you call it, a one sheet?
The one-page wonder.
Take that to your client, and I'm telling you, this thing is impressive. And it's going to look great. It's going to make you look good. It's going to make Knightly look good. And it's going to make your buyer look good when they go to make their offer, because they're making an offer based on an educated position.
The one thing, too, is we track where all the referrals come from. So we track every realtor's name in our CRM. So if that investor were to purchase that property, if they ever wanted to list the property, we would automatically refer that investor back to the realtor to do the listing.
There's an angelic choir singing, and they're all realtors right now. Exactly. John, appreciate
that. I'm telling you, it's endless buyer leads for life. It's evergreen.
Amazing. The other thing we do for the realtor as well is, I know a lot of other property management companies will give the realtor a $250 realtor referral bonus, but that typically goes to the broker, and then there's a split, and then you have to pay income tax on that, and at the end the realtor might get like $67 out of that $250
going to Texas Roadhouse.
maybe 67
just for your meal.
Yeah,
so we do our realtor referral programs a little bit different. We actually give the realtor a free stay in that property or a similar property that they can give away to a client, or they could use themselves. So if they want to use it to help grow their business or reward somebody, they can do that. We also allow the realtor to put a QR code with their contact information in the property. So anybody that stays in the house, any guest, can scan that QR code. If they're new to Branson and they say, man, I love this place, I would love to buy a house, they scan that QR code and that realtor's contact information pops up, and they are now the number one buyer's agent for every single guest that comes forever.
I mean, come on, the value of that versus a $250 gift card. I mean, that could be tens of thousands of dollars
right
in your pocket.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, guys, I think we're almost out of time today. Joel, I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Yeah.
It is
a
really, really good story. And what's your biggest piece of advice for anyone looking to get into short-term rentals in 2026?
Find someone. Find an expert. Don't do this on your own. Don't pretend like you know the answers. Find an expert and lean on them.
This is not fake it till you make it.
This is not fake it till you. You guys are playing with people's money.
That's right.
Their hard-earned money. This is the way people want to retire. Mm. And you need to find somebody like John and the gang over here at Knightly that can walk them through their investment and tell them why it is a good or a bad idea. And they will. And that's what I love about these guys. They'll tell you, hey, this one's not a good one. And they'll tell you, and they're not afraid to tell you that.
John, thank you for being here today, too. If you could give anyone a piece of advice for short-term rentals in 2026, what would that be?
I love what Joel said earlier. Know your numbers first. I've run into some investors that have purchased a property and then realized after the fact that it's not going to make any money, that they're going to have to feed it. Or they bought it with an adjustable rate mortgage at 3 or 4%, and it's now 9%. Mm-hmm. And their free lake house, they're now going to have to pay $2,000 a month to feed it.
I'm over here raising my hand. That's me, guys. That's me. I've made my mistakes.
So not that we know everything, but we can come alongside and we can share some of those stories and say, hey, these might be some things that you might want to think about and consider as you move forward, as you make this investment.
With experience comes so much more experience and risk mitigation for these types of things. So
exactly.
Definitely, you're saying lean on someone who's been there, done that, and can tell you what the pitfalls could be.
With 186 properties, we've seen a couple things in seven states.
Yeah.
So we might be able to help some. For those that self-manage, the one thing I would mention is count the cost. To be able to self-manage, those calls come 24/7 at the most inconvenient times. The water heater goes out, you're at your daughter's recital. They have 12 tickets to Dixie Stampede and everybody needs to take a shower and you have to step out and you miss your daughter's recital.
Oof.
Those kinds of things happen. Everybody has those stories. So count the cost.
Now, Joel, I know you still have some properties for sale at Driftwood Shores, and also you know a lot about short-term rental and developing. If somebody were to want to connect with you about those things, what would be the best way for them to do that?
I would say the best way to reach me is just head to my website, my real estate website. It's team24-7realtors.com, and there's a tab at the top that says Driftwood Shores, and we have a little landing page that talks a little bit about the community, and you can request an info packet, a really cool marketing piece that we put out that answers every question about the resort you could possibly ask. We would love to talk to you about our units. Just give me a shout.
We would love to have people talk to you about your units, Joel. And guys, if you have any more questions about Knightly, or if you, as a realtor, need to run revenue projections, remember again, it's knightly.cc. Just go to knightly.cc and request, first you would go to the management tab, and then you will request a custom projection. Just put in the address, put in who referred you. If you're the realtor, put in realtor, and just let us know that you referred us. And that's the easy way for you to get the information you need from us. And that's the starting point for everything. Guys, thank you so much for being here, both of you.
I
know you're so busy.
Thank you, Courtney.
So blessed to have you here today.
Yes.
Yeah, and guys, I know there's so much more to cover about short-term rentals. So I want you all to let us know what you want from us. What things do you need to know? Drop me a line. You can email me at courtney@knightly.cc. That's courtney@knightly.cc. And we can't wait to talk again.